Oh, welcome to episode one of our website copywriting series. This series is going to be invaluable in helping you focus on one of the most important marketing assets in your business, your website.
Hey.
We are going to release episodes fortnightly, so don't forget to hit subscribe to ensure that you don't miss an episode. In this series, we're going to be deep diving into topics including SEO, user experience, what you need to think about when thinking about your essential pages for your website, and lots more. Or if you're looking to revamp or completely redo your website, then this series is for you. Cracking Copy is a marketing and copywriting podcast where we lift the lid on writing for business and read between the lines of effective copy.
This is a podcast for creative entrepreneurs and savvy business owners like you who understand the value that great copy can bring to their bottom line.
We dive into a different aspect of writing for business in each episode, debunk the myths about how we should write, and explore the ways that writing can be fun, conversational, and creative, while also being high impact for serious results.
So listen, laugh, and learn with us, Ella Hoyos and Minnie McBride, as we share our words and wisdom in each snack-sized episode. Expect some lightbulb moments, interesting guests, and practical takeaways as we crack the copy code together.
So this episode still applies if you don't have a website, because today we are going to be discussing, well, Ella and I are going to be discussing
Why you need one.
Yes.
What are the signs that you need to review your copy if you've had a website for a while, but you think it might need a revamp? And of course, why is it important to keep a website up to date? What are the signs that you might need to hire a professional copywriter? You know, can you do it yourself or do you need a professional copywriter? We'll look at that. And also, we're going to talk about a checklist of what you might want your website to contain.
Yes, it's quite a lot, but we are going to try and keep it short and snappy, aren't we?
We are going to try.
So let's just start with a reminder of why it's important to have a website for your business. If you can't Google a business in 2024, does it even exist? That is the question.
Yeah. I mean, Google is so central to our lives, isn't it? And it's if you don't appear on a Google search, then there's kind of a problem, I think, because most people's go-to when they want to start any task, particularly, you know, is go to Google, ask Google. So yeah. I think it's important.
I think someone checking you out, especially if you're a service provider, you know, then I think you really, I mean, we all need to be on the web, on the interweb, sadly.
Yeah. And in a way that way we're controlling the narrative a little bit more rather than, you know, Google just throwing up any old search result. It used to be when you Googled my name that it came up with disqualified from a triathlon that I competed in some time ago. Yes, which was highly embarrassing. And I had to work hard at producing some other content that Google could pick up on. And now I don't think you'll get that search result anymore.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I think controlling the narrative then is, we should have that as our number one. So, yeah, the majority of businesses do need a website. And information is found these days online. You know, people, I mean, okay, people do still go to libraries, but they don't.
I do. But yes, less frequently.
But not for checking out a company, probably.
No.
So, you know, your website might act like as a storefront. So you might be an online shop, or it might be an information hub. So a lot of people will just have a website in order to provide information, and that might be community information or whatever, or a platform delivering services. And so whatever your purpose, it is your little slice of the internet, and it's your home where strangers are invited in and to look around, stick around, and hopefully like what they see and want more. So what do we think then the main benefits are for a website for growing your business?
I like this way of categorizing it, which I have to say you've coined, Mini, but to build, to sell, to analyze, if we work through some of those things. But why don't you go first then on the
build? So if we talk about building, I think what we mean really is building your credibility, building your visibility. So that's expanding your exposure, being discoverable, enhancing your authority, building trust, which obviously you can do by testimonials, et cetera, et cetera. Also, your brand recognition, building your brand, and strengthening brand loyalty. So I think when I kind of was talking about build, that's those are the categories, if you like, that I meant.
Yeah, absolutely. Building your presence. It's your online presence, isn't it?
And it is.
And like you said before, it's like it's your little slice of the internet. It's your home online. And it does all those things for you if you do it well.
Exactly, exactly. So the next category that I was looking at, the other main benefits, was selling. Mm-hmm. So the advantage of having a website is it will open up new markets and you will find a wider audience reach. Brilliant for generating leads because, you know, if people land on you and they then sign up for whatever, you know, you can then nurture them with your emails, etc. So it's a really good way to generate extra leads. And obviously, fantastic for product and service sales. So, you know, online shop, people click on and buy. So that's the selling aspect. And then finally, when we talk about analyze, we're talking about data-based customer insights, which obviously you can get from Google Analytics, or if you're with Shopify, et cetera, the analytics, and also boosting your SEO performance.
Search engine optimization.
Yeah, which is the dark art, which we are going to be talking about this series, aren't we?
Except it's not so dark an art when you get into it, is it? But if you're not familiar with it, it can feel like that.
It can. I think we all need to be SEO experts these days. So if you're doing anything online, you have to know something, I think. And so we're hoping to impart some knowledge in this little series. But also, actually, there's two more. There's enhancing customer service and experience, which you can do very effectively with your website. And also, it's a really good way to directly communicate with your customer or your potential customer. We really all probably do need a website.
Yeah. I think if you boil it down, you can boil it down into two things that a website does. It's for you to have a brand presence, and it's for your customer to attract your customer, to engage and nurture your customer. So I would say it's for you and your customer. And, you know, if you're in business, you need that relation. You need to build those relationships, nurture them, and to take those new customer inquiries all the way through to becoming a lead and a paying customer at the end of the day. The other big question, I think, for this series, this show today, is how do we know when it's time to redo our website? So if you already are a business, you already have a web presence, and you're sitting here thinking, well, I don't need to know about the basics, but actually, is it time to refresh your website? So let's look at that.
Yeah, what are the signs? Take us through the signs.
Because are the signs always obvious? Or perhaps you haven't given it much thought. You know, you've got a website, you published it a year ago in my case, and therefore it's done. I can forget about it. I'm on to the next task. I think often we feel a bit like that, because actually the producing and building and writing a website and designing a website and getting it out there, that's actually quite a big chunk of work if you're doing it for the first time. So it's a big relief once, you know, you've got that presence. But it is a living and breathing entity. We can't just set it and forget it, or it is not wise to set it and forget it. And it does need constant
refreshing, updating.
Yes, it does, because you change, your business changes, things happen, new things come up. So it's something that Minnie and I have been thinking about a lot lately in regards to our own websites, haven't we?
Yeah, we have.
And we're also getting questions from customers on the subject and from clients about their websites. So let's talk about it. Here are some of the key signs, I think, that show up. And these are indicators that it's time for a website refresh. The first one, I think, is when you don't feel confident to share your website anymore. Often if we're in a networking group, particularly a Zoom call or something like that, and people say, how can I contact you? And the first thing you do is give out your Instagram address or your LinkedIn profile, and it's not your website. You know, why is that? Why didn't you point them direct to your website where they'll get much more precise information about what you do, who you serve, what your services are or products? If you don't feel confident about it, then it could be because it's out of date. You know, there could be lots of reasons behind it. It could be that it's not, your business has evolved and it's not the same message that you want to give out today. So it feels out of alignment. It feels out of whack somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps if you have changed as a business, or you're uncomfortable with some of the topics that you're talking about, you don't want to sell them very much anymore. So it's that kind of thing. Sometimes I think if the messaging on your website is inconsistent, especially if you have different target audiences, sometimes it's very difficult to know how to talk about your services if you're talking to different people. I mean, the general rule in copywriting is to have one message, one person. You know, it's the rule of one, isn't it? You say one thing to one person. And if you have, for example, we run a podcast course, and we're looking for newbie podcasters in that respect, to talk to them. But we also offer copywriting services, and that's a completely different target audience segment. So how do we address both of those things on our website? And sometimes this sort of stuff can cause problems. You know, you feel inconsistent in your messaging. So what you need to do as a business owner is to look for a golden thread. There is a red thread that connects all the things you do. There is a reason. There is underpinning everything you do is your why. And there is a reason why you offer all of these different services, and there will be a reason why you need to target different audiences. But it's making sure that that comes through. And so a visitor to your website doesn't sense, you know, this doesn't feel disjointed about it. They understand.
Yes, they don't see a disconnect. They're saying, well, why is it that you do this and you're doing that?
Another sign that you may need to review your website copy is that you haven't given SEO much thought in the past. You know, you wrote your website, it says what you need it to say, but unfortunately, you're not getting the traffic that you thought you would. You're not getting the inquiries that you thought you would. And there's a strong chance there that it's because you didn't really pay much attention to search engine optimization and doing things that were going to bring traffic to your website. So if you feel you are lacking SEO in that respect, then maybe it's time to go back in and have an update of that, you know, making sure that all your copy is linked, backlinked and whatnot, so that you can get traffic, more traffic coming in. And this sort of leads to the other point, analytics. If you are regular at checking your analytics and you see that actually there's no growth, or that there was in the beginning but things have plateaued, you're not getting much improvement in terms of web traffic, then it's possibly a sign that something needs fixing. Again, with poor conversions, if you have a lead magnet on your website or a contact form, or you are selling products and people are not buying them, if it has poor conversions and it's not converting at the rate that you would hope, then it's time to go back in and see what you can do to improve that. So I think one of the things that many businesses are guilty of, mine included, and many you can confess here if you like or not, but thinking that once your website is up and done, then it is done. It's not. It's a living, breathing, constantly changing thing, and we need to treat it with that in mind.
Yeah, and do you think one of the barriers, though, is for people who aren't techie, and then they get a designer to do it for them, and then rather than finding a designer who's going to teach them how to update it themselves, because I know quite a few people who will just, you know, sort of come out in hives at the thought that they might have to update their own website. And I do think that can be a barrier too, is that, you know, you get someone to do it for you, but you don't know how to update it yourself. And I do think that, again, that's a very important part of your creation of your website, is for someone to tell you, or that they will say, look, I'll do it for you. You just send me the, you know, for X amount of a year or whatever it is.
Yeah.
If there's small tweaks. Because I do think, you know, a lot of people, I mean, you know, find the whole technical thing with websites. They think it's really complicated when actually, it isn't that difficult if someone shows you how to do it, really. Yeah.
Sometimes your web designer, and it's just a question to ask right at the outset when you're getting it first designed and choosing whether you're going to pick a template, whether you're going to have a custom build, but ask your web designer to train you on it afterwards. And a lot of them do offer that as part of their service. You know, they show you how to go into the back end and just make some tweaks. However, when it all said and done, that can still feel quite overwhelming if you've left it alone for a few months and you've sort of forgotten what they said and forgotten how to do it. And so that can be a barrier. It can feel overwhelming on the tech side. And also, if there is a cost element involved and you just don't feel like you want to plow any more money into it.
I mean, I do think there are barriers. I mean, you know it needs to be done, but you haven't got the money. And I think that is really part of the process, as you say, that should have been done from day one, really. How to update your own blogs, how to do that yourself. And then at least that's updated.
Yeah. But if you can think that through in the beginning and reverse engineer it, then, and so that you think ahead, well, how am I going to keep this updated in the future? Then that will dictate what method you choose to build that website in the first place.
Exactly.
Whether you choose to buy a template that you can, or it's already easy to customize, you know, no code.
I mean, there's loads of those, aren't there? Squarespace and Wix and all of these others.
There's still a learning curve, though, attached to that. So, you know, you're still going to have to learn how to use the Wix or the Squarespace, the show template or whatever.
Exactly. So are you going to be revamping your website, Ella?
Well, I'd like to say yes, I am. I launched my website September 2023. And I was quite good at updating it to start with. But as time's gone on, you know, other things get in the way and priorities. And the website updates tend to have dropped off the to-do list a little bit. And it's not part of a habitual, you know, I do this on a monthly basis. So I need to get back into that routine. But now some time has elapsed and my services have evolved. And I don't think I'm prioritising the services that I really want up front and center anymore. I think they're a bit lost in there. I think the user journey through the website could be improved. So I know I've got improvements to do. So my that's a long answer to a big emphatic yes, I will be updating my website.
Yes, because I'm doing mine and I have been doing it for a while, and because I have pivoted. And again, I've slightly pivoted again. So it is something that I know. I just need to get something out there and then I can just update, because I do think you need to be found.
Yeah. Well, it probably come as no surprise now to our listeners that, you know, the whole reason we wanted to do this website series in our podcast was to give ourselves a little kick up the backside to, you know, to think about all the things we need to think about and to kickstart this process for
definitely,
ourselves.
Definitely.
But we bring you on the journey too, because I know there's a lot of other business owners and service providers and copywriters out there who also need a little swift kick up the ass with their website. So there we go.
And actually, in the copywriting community, we will all agree that we do feel under pressure for our websites to be really good, because, you know, we're copywriters. So if they're rubbish, you ain't going to get no business. So,
yeah, perfectionism looms large. I'd love to hear from a copywriter who doesn't have this problem, and please share your secrets with us.
Yes, get in touch, please.
Yeah.
So what do you think the key signs are that somebody might need to stop DIYing it, Ella, and then actually hire a professional copywriter?
Well, stop writing their own copy, and when is it time to hire a professional copywriter? Well, for all the reasons we just mentioned, feeling of overwhelm, feeling of dread, procrastinating, putting off updating your website because you're not quite sure what to say. If you do feel like your messaging might be confusing, or if customers are sort of voting with their feet and not taking the action you want to them to take on the website, it could be as simple as, and this is this one happens quite a lot, you know, you get clients who you think you've hired the website designer, you want to create your new website, you want it to look really beautiful, so you hire the website designer. And then, shock horror, the website designer asks you for the copy. And all of a sudden, you're stumped as a service provider, or, you know, the client, you're like, oh, damn, now I've got to write some words. Well, what the hell am I going to say? You know, that that realization is time to call a copywriter, you know, find out. If you don't feel confident and qualified to write the copy yourself, or you just know it's going to take too long, it's going to be too much of a brain drain, and you do need assistance to get over that hurdle, then that's an obvious sign. Another one is where you may choose to buy a website template, an off-the-shelf design. It looks beautiful, and you think, yes, you can picture your business on the internet using a beautiful website template, which might be, you know, Squarespace, Wix type thing. However, when it comes to writing the copy, you can't just make the words fit easily. What you want to say doesn't fit neatly into that beautiful, you know, homepage design. That's where some customization is needed, or certainly help from a copywriter to really figure out what your message is and how you can say it in a way that either will fit better or will suggest you need to customize the template more. Of course, there is the situation where if you have an existing website and the copy is on the existing website and you thought you could just bring it over to the new template, but actually you're realizing it doesn't sit comfortably with the new design. So there, it needs a revamp. Call a copywriter. I think a copywriter can really help in that instance.
Definitely.
Rephrasing. Definitely. You know, recreating that copy. Minnie, have you got any suggestions here?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting one, whether the sort of copy comes before the design as well. And I know that a lot of the websites that I design are almost like an SOS. It's like, do you write websites? Yes, I do. And then, right, I need you because I'm doing this now. And I think then people realize actually that it's actually more difficult than they think it is, because you have to think of so much when you're doing it. It's not just, which we're going to talk about in this series. We're talking about user experience. We're talking about the words we use. We're talking about the voice of customer. We're talking about, you know, making it really properly work for you by having call to action in the right places. So I do think it's not just a question of saying, this is my marvelous product and you need to buy it. I think there's more to that. And obviously, you know, you're a messaging specialist. And again, that's a really important part of why you might need a professional copywriter to make sure that it's all threaded together, that it is actually, you know, in tune with your messaging strategy. And do you have a messaging strategy? And if you don't, then perhaps you need that first.
Yeah. Even going back from, you know, do you have a messaging strategy, which I suppose is a sort of advanced level, you know, thing in a way, in communication thing. But just getting clear on what your services are. I think getting a website built is a real, really wakes you up to whether you've got clarity on what you offer. And so many times, we think we're clear, it's all in our heads what we offer, and we offer this to this client and that to that client, or, you know, we sell this and that. But actually, when you have to tie your colours to the mast, when you have to actually say in a website, and you can't list 50 products or 50, not easily anyway, unless you are a sort of shopping cart type, a shop with a shop window and 50 products. But if you're a service provider, you don't want to list 50 different services. That would be overwhelming to a visitor. You need to prioritise and get really clear on what your main offers are and what would make sense to a visitor, so they're not overwhelmed, but they still get a clear idea of what it is that you offer them. And I think sometimes if you are having a hard time prioritizing, then again, it's a chat with a third party like a copywriter can be really helpful in getting clarity there and just deciding what is it that I'm trying to say here.
And I think one of the, if you are looking to hire a website copywriter like us, you know, don't forget to listen to our episode, The Importance of the Copy Brief and the Art of Preparation, which we published in September of this year, 2024. And that's really looking at briefing and the information that you'll need to give your copywriter to nail that copy first time. And that does include things like messaging, understanding your competitors, you know, all of the really important marketing strategy, really. That becomes part of a briefing document. But it also, again, it will be, it is an invaluable listen because it'll help you to think about defining your goals and objectives. And again, as you say, your offers, particularly if you're a service provider, you know, researching industry trends and relating them to your business, getting up to date with competitors. So I think, you know, that's another, if you are thinking of hiring a professional, you know, there's a lot of information that you need to impart, but then you've passed over the baton, haven't you? Mm. And so, yeah.
A good copywriter will tease that out of you there. A good copywriter will sit down in that onboarding call and, you know, ask you all the questions, extract all that information from you so that they can go ahead and write the website. But what you can do to help is good. So, yes, check out that previous episode. It was just a few episodes back, wasn't it? So
yeah, not even got to scroll back far.
No. So let's assume you've decided that you want to update your website. So now what?
Oh, yes.
I want to think here about, you know, sort of website checklist, if you like. You know, what are the non-negotiables that you're going to have to include in your website? And what are the nice-to-haves? And how do you decide between them? So shall we have a talk about some of those pages then, Minnie?
Yeah, I mean, they're not just pages, are they? I suppose the key one is your site navigation menu bar. So yeah. thinking about the pages that you need.
Yeah, I guess this is a framework. This is thinking about the wider framework that holds your website together, that site navigation bar. You know, this is a little bar at the top of every page so that people know where they're at within your site. And you may have the three main pages that we talk about, the about page, the home page first, I guess your about page, and then your services and or a contact page. But over and above that, if you do a lot of speaking on stages, if you do a lot of workshops, you know, you may need a speaker page. If you're like us and you have podcast cracking copy, you may want a podcast page to show people, take people to those episodes. If you're an e-commerce site, you will have a shop aspect to that, and you may not need the homepage and about page. Maybe, you know, the homepage will definitely be there. The about page may be less prominent. The shop may come first, you know.
Yeah.
But certainly within that, there's product pages, and each product you sell in your shop may need its own product page. So really, you know, what's the minimum, what's the maximum it takes to achieve your website goal? And I think the first thing really is to get clear on what is your website goal? What are you trying to do with your website? Because that will dictate what goes into it.
Definitely. What's your ultimate goal? What's your purpose?
Mm-hmm.
And then your job is to guide them round as you say, like a tour guide, I think you've described.
Yeah, absolutely. You as the website owner need to direct your traffic. Then you need to take them and show them where you want them to go throughout the website.
Yeah, we're talking about that in the next episode, actually. We're going to talk about user experience and how best to guide somebody around the website. So one of the things that you've just touched upon, actually, was templates and wireframes. So if I'm not exactly clear on what those are, how would you best describe the difference?
So as copywriters, we would write the words, and the words would come first, and then we would create a wireframe that goes with those words, and that would be a sort of site structure. It's a visual map. As it suggests, a wireframe is wired boxes on a page. So you get the copy, it wouldn't just be presented to the client. The copy that we write for a website wouldn't be just presented as a Google Doc. You'd also get an accompanying document with a wireframe, and it would say, you know, homepage heading goes here, homepage body copy here, services here, here, and here, and you would see boxes. You would see in a diagrammatic way a wireframe boxes, and that gets handed over to the web designer who custom builds your website around the words and images that you've given to them. But it's a blueprint for your web designer. So you would use a wireframe if you are going to custom build your design and template from scratch. Whereas now you can get a lot of these no-code web companies. You can buy templates from graphic designers, from web designers. So if you host your website on a hosting platform like Squarespace, or if it's not a WordPress website might be more suited to a wireframe approach. But I think you can buy templates for WordPress websites anyway. So all website hosting companies usually have a variety of people who sell the templates, and the templates are just ready-made off-the-shelf designs, aren't they, or web designs that you can customize. Yes.
You can customize them to an extent, I would say. Yeah. Having done a few myself, you do suddenly get stuck where there's certain things you think you want to do, but you can't because obviously you've picked that template. So I think the templates are very easy and good if you're doing it yourself, because you do then have how-to videos, etc. But then you are a little bit constrained. So customizing it and using a wireframe. I mean, you could use a template. If a client came to us and said, I want to use this template, can you help me to wireframe it? Then that's another way that you can do it. So you can customize it that way if you know vaguely the template they're wanting to use.
Yeah, you can. They're all a bit different. I mean, it depends. I think the decision often depends on how you want to manage your website in the long term, and whether you want to do the updates yourself, or whether you're happy to continue to work with a web designer, and every time you need some updates doing that, you can hire your website design. They'll do the updates for you with their website design knowledge and coding knowledge. But if you have a template, you can usually, you know, there is a learning curve attached to it, but you can learn how to customize it yourself a bit easier. That's my feeling about them. Just to look at some of the pros and cons around templates and around wireframes. Mm-hmm. Some of the pros, really, you get a beautiful design that's mapped out for you with a template. With a template, the fonts and the colors are often pre-selected. You can change them. Often you can change them, but you know it's designed to look a certain way. So you pick a template that's closest to what you want your final outcome to look like. Sometimes the site navigation menu is pre-selected. Again, you could rename a page on there. You could rename your speaker page and turn it into a podcast page, for example. But the corresponding template that goes with that would then need to be customized as well. So, but it gives you a more, you really, for people who find it hard to visualize the end result, a template helps you visualize the end result before you've started. And yes, there is some rigidity to templates, but generally speaking, they are meant to be flexible and customizable. And you can sort of feel a bit more confident if you're not tech savvy, and that you may be able to DIY a template. You know, it's a better option if you want to DIY your website. And you don't necessarily need to outsource the design work if you are working with a template. But the cons of a template, the difficulties are it's difficult to say what you want and make those words fit. Templates can look a bit samey. They can become familiar. You know, there's a certain style or a trend that you're going for and you've seen it somewhere elsewhere. So there's a chance your website will blend in with other ones, maybe built on the same or similar templates. And then I think you can play it a bit safe with the template. You can get a bit scared of changing it too much because you bought into the original design and look and feel of that website template. And so you're like, oh, well, I'll just try and stay within the lines. But then that's not really helpful to your business and standing out.
I agree. The other thing that I would say is that sometimes they're quite restrictive. So one of the templates that I'm using on my website at the moment will only allow you to put 4 colours in. Mm. But if your colour palette is 6 colours, then again, you're a bit restricted with what you can do. So right. I would say that's worth looking at as well.
Yeah, and I think they do vary depending on the provider of how much customization is involved, because my website is built on a template, and that's, I can pick it. I'm not restricted by colours in that. So
yeah, no, so that's good. So, you know, that's sort of thing that you can look at. Some of them are more restrictive than others.
Yeah. And then with wireframes, pros and cons, well, the main reason to have the sort of go down the wireframe road, if you like, is it's 100% custom built. So this website navigation is exactly how you want it. Your message does become more important, I think, than the pictures. You're putting your words first, the pictures come later. You're designing a space for them, but the message is more important. They're a helpful way to, really helpful for a web designer. It eliminates decision-making on the web design part. So as a conversion copywriter, when you want your customers to take action and your website visitors to take action, the words play a really crucial part in moving people around the pages. So you don't want the website designer to sort of smash up all your copy and break it down in chunks. It's not going to work in the same way. But if you have a wireframe, they have a clear map, a blueprint yes. that they can follow. And your copywriter makes all those user experience decisions with conversion in mind. And also, you know, you custom design the journey. I think I've said this, I don't want to labour it, but, you know, you custom design the journey you want your website visitor to take. But then the cons of using a wireframe, I think there are more steps to get to the end result. You will need a web designer to implement and bring that wireframe to life. Unless you are a HTML coder, in which case you don't, but who is? And you probably do need to hire a pro copywriter as well, unless, again, you are briefed in the tools that it takes to create wireframes. It's impossible. I think it's Miro, Figma. There are a few tools that you can create wireframes with. You could probably do it in Canva, but I perhaps wouldn't recommend it, but, you know. But lots of copywriters are briefed in this. And the other thing about wireframes is visual elements aren't included. So you or your web designer or your branding designer does need to make all those branding decisions, color choices, image selection, and that does need to feel cohesive throughout the website. So you have to do that yourself if you're going down the wireframe route.
And also, I think if you're going down the wireframe route, there is then the potential that you're not going to be able to update it yourself. Unless, of course, you ask the web designer to build that in. So what we're talking, you know, so yes, it might look great. And then what happens when your services change or your products change? You know, you're going to have to invest in that web designer to make those updates for you.
Yeah, to build an extra section to
Than you being able to, you know, quickly do an article and pop it up there yourself, because it's maybe more complex, the design. Just a thought. I don't think all of them are, because I think these days, you know, they can customize it, but I think so that it's easy for you to use yourself. But again, it's a bit of a learning curve.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's wrap this up. But Minnie, should design come first or words?
Well, obviously, we're going to say words, aren't we? Definitely. I mean, I think from what we've said today, it's an absolute no-brainer that you need to write the words first and plan, you know, how your website is going to be and flow through what you're going to say, rather than how it's going to look. I think the customer journey, again, user experience, we're going to talk about that next episode. But I do think, again, that comes from the copywriter. But what I would say is quite a lot of the work that I do, unfortunately for me, is like, we've got this designer and we would like you to write our write our website. But then the problem with that is that then they'll say, they phone me up and they'll say, you know, that bit that you wrote, well, it doesn't fit. So we're going to cut it we're going to move it around. And you're like, well, no, you can't, you know, that's not. So that's quite difficult. So yeah, but ideally, I think what you really want is you need the copywriter and the website designer to work together. I think that's the perfect, but the words do really need to come first.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
I agree. But I am that person who gets you know, we are both quite creative people in all ways, aren't we? And I can easily go down rabbit holes on design fronts as well.
Very true.
But yes, the message is important, and what you're trying to say really needs to come across, and the design should back that up. But it's not, you know, unless you are a graphic designer, an artist, and you know, even if you are those things, the visuals are important, but the words are more important. That's a rambling conclusion, isn't it?
But it's a good conclusion.
Yeah. And then how important is on page SEO, search engine optimization? What do we mean by on page SEO anyway?
Oh, we need most relevant content, keywords, high quality backlinks. That's what we mean. So relevant to what it is that your website's about, so that you can be found by the Google crawlers.
Yeah.
So that, I would say, it's very important. And I do think that whether you're doing yourself or hiring a professional copywriter, researching keywords is absolutely essential. And we're going to, again, be talking about that this series, aren't we?
Yeah.
And the other types of SEO that are important to consider, which actually a lot of copywriters don't do, but the web designers don't necessarily do that very well either, which is like the header tags, the title tags, meta descriptions. I mean, I've done that for clients before because I've done the research on the keywords anyway. So I've done that, but it's something that you really need to think about. And again, we'll discuss this in this series as well.
Yeah, you've got to build those things into your website if you want your website to get found.
Exactly.
So all very, yes, important parts of website copywriting. If you don't take action on SEO, I mean, publishing a website, the way I see it, is like building a house. It's building your place in the internet, but it's building a house that sits in the middle of a field. Okay. And if there are no roads connecting, come into that house. You know, if your house isn't a destination without that sort of adjoining network and highway to lead people there, then people aren't going to find you. Yeah. So the SEO builds the roads to and from your house so that it's not just a lonely house in a field. It's in a thriving community with a network of streets around it. And you've got friends and family visiting the whole time and ideal clients visiting the whole time. So, you know, SEO is like the roads that brings the traffic to your door.
It's a great analogy. I like that.
Yeah. Okie dokes, Min.
Okay. Well, I think we could touch very briefly, because time is marching, on the other, because we were talking about what are the non-negotiables. So we've talked obviously about SEO and about your title, your banner. But the other things obviously that we have touched on are homepage, about page. If you're a bigger business, the team page, I do think that's important as well. I think people like to see, particularly if they're dealing with somebody else, if you've got a small business and you're on holiday and you're saying, oh, can you deal with so-and-so? Or then they can understand who that person is. And, you know, photographs, again, really helpful. Contact page, frequently asked questions.
Yeah.
And then the really boring things like privacy policy and terms and conditions.
Yeah, the sort of legal bits that you need.
Yes. And things like a blog section, which, again, we are going to talk about this in terms of SEO. Or it might be that you have a Substack that you charge people to read. But again, you can link that, or you could have some free blogs and links to Substack.
Substack being like a social blogging site. Would you call that a social blog?
Well, yeah. I think it's also a professional site where people pay to read your writing.
Okay, yes.
But there are several like that, but Substack seems to be really popular at the moment.
Yeah.
Then obviously lead generation landing pages. If you have an e-commerce store, obviously that's vital. Services pages, portfolio page. I think if you're certainly a service company, I think that's a really, you know, to show, like for example, for us to show examples of our copywriting is really important.
Yeah, good way to get some more social proof in there.
Definitely.
Examples of past work and whatnot.
And I think above all, it's about getting creative. This is your home on the internet. And although you have the essentials, which, you do need to nail down. You know, also think about how you want people to feel when they arrive. How will you take their hand and lead them around? You know, how will you get them to take action? And, you know, how, you know, if you want them to go to your about page, how can you get somebody from your homepage to your about page? If you've got a really compelling story, how can you do that? So I think, yeah, how can you get them to stay, want more, get in touch, buy? So there's a lot to think about.
Yeah, it only really becomes apparent when you start to actually do it, doesn't it? But it's all good stuff and it's all completely achievable. And I hope that you learned something good from this episode. And if you want more, we are going to be diving into more specific areas of website writing, building, creating in the next few episodes. So do tune in.
Fantastic. Until next time.
You have been listening to the Cracking Copy podcast with Ella Hoyos and Minnie McBride.
Don't miss out on future episodes by making sure you hit subscribe down below to keep up with all our podcasts.
And more details and resources are in our show notes.
So we'll see you next time.